And happy Monday, everyone. A reaction Monday at that as well. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Ray Dosky making sure everything runs smoothly between now and 6. A lot to get to over the next 2 hours. Open segment right now, too, if you'd like to weigh in as far as Reaction Monday, 615-844-5600. You can weigh in on the Titans. How about the Vols? Vanderbilt, SEC, whatever's on your mind, 615-844-5600. A couple of things stood out for me that had nothing to do with actually what was played on a football field. First, the BYU situation. You know, they played North Alabama great on Saturday at home, winning 66-14. Washington in the Apple Cup, you know, they can't play Washington State this week. Washington State issues with COVID-19. And so Washington over the weekend sent out an invitation to BYU. Hey, you're open. How about playing us? I go back to conversations we've had in the past with legendary Hall of Fame coach Bobby Bowden when he was building that program at Florida State. He threw it out there. It wasn't just words. He threw it out to Ohio State, to Notre Dame, to LSU, to Nebraska, whoever. We'll play you anywhere, anytime. So he would take their money, go on the road, and beat them. So here's BYU trying to build their resume because they have a very lackluster schedule this year, right? No resume at all. Yeah, great. You're beating North Alabama 66-14. And plus, by the way, we're not even talking, a group of five or anything. It's not Power Five. It's not group of five. It's not one of the top 130 football programs in the country. And it showed on the football field on Saturday. No offense to North Alabama. They certainly needed a paycheck. However, so the opportunity was there, and what BYU's answer? All that talk back, we'll play you, we'll play anybody, right? It's like, oh, no, let's just wait and see what happens tomorrow night, which will be the first unveiling of the rankings by the College Football Playoff Committee. If I'm on the committee, BYU is down, and they're not even going to get close to those six spots at the top. Right now, too, I would lift Cincinnati over BYU. At least they're giving an effort out there as far as trying to do everything they can possible to build their resume. If it comes down to which team gets the bid as far as the New Year's Day bowl games, to me, Cincinnati, no question about it, if everything remains the same record-wise. The other one, Dabo Sweeney. Aw, shucks, Dabo Sweeney, right? So all week, one of his players, showing all the symptoms of COVID-19, he tests positive. But here's the thing. He was showing the symptoms. And this is a Clemson program, 20-plus cases since the end of September with their program and COVID-19, including losing two games with Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, right? And so you would think that the medical personnel with Clemson would be fairly smart and go, maybe we shouldn't. It wasn't like we're talking about a starter or anything. Maybe we should err on the side of caution there and not put him on the plane with the other players going to Tallahassee to play Florida State. What happens? He tests positive Friday night with COVID-19. And so here's Clemson and Tallahassee ready to play the game. I don't blame Mike Norvell or Florida State. I would not want to play Clemson in that situation. First of all, you know, you've got this mentality with Dabo Sweeney. There's just certain coaches. We learned this back in the summer or late spring with Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State. Some individuals, some coaches should just stick to coaching and stay out of things out of the field because obviously lack of intelligence, lack of a full grasp of what's going on, have no business making stupid comments. If you open your mouth, the bad words, the comments come out. We learned it with Mike Gundy back in May, and we learned it from Dabo Sweeney over the weekend. What it shows to me is someone that doesn't really care about the players. He's only thinking about one thing, adding to his resume, adding to championships. So Dabo Sweeney, very bad look there. It reminds me of back about a decade ago where the coaches lost the responsibility and the accountability of, you know, sending players out. You know, it's like if you got a concussion, just give them an aspirin or two, go back on the field. And then they got smart in the NCAA and took that ability out of the hands of the coaches. You know, we saw it at TCU. We saw it at Notre Dame, for example, sending players out there with concussions. And you could certainly tell that they had concussions because they were trying to walk back to the sideline. of the opposing teams, right? So that to me is just like what we're talking about with Dabo Swinney over the weekend, a bad look, and there's not enough bad things that can be said about Mr. Allshucks himself up in Clemson. So there, got that off my chest. Now we can talk about things on the field. Incredible game for the Tennessee Titans yesterday in that fourth quarter. Look, Baltimore had so many opportunities just to put the game away. I'm still curious. You know, they threw the flag to check on a spot that would have given Baltimore first down when they were up 21-16 in the fourth quarter. They ruled that he was short of the line to gain. I didn't see that. So anyway, very next play, a 5-yard penalty against Baltimore. Now they're in a situation where they end up having to, they're not only not in field goal range anymore, they have to give the ball back up to the Tennessee Titans, and they took advantage of that opportunity. Baltimore in the second half, and we've seen this so much over the past month, a team, when they have these opportunities, they just can't get it done. And then you start wondering now, what is up with Lamar Jackson? You know, I go back to when Vince Young got off to the great start, remember? And then it seemed like the league figured him out. There's some big issues with that Baltimore offense. And I understand from a playmaker standpoint, certainly lacking the ability out with the wide receivers. I mean, there's a reason why Dez Bryant was out there and he caught his first pass since 2017. But that doesn't explain all the issues with this Baltimore offense. But major, major, huge win for the Tennessee Titans yesterday. And certainly there's probably a point there if you're a fan of the Titans, this probably not going to turn out well early part of the fourth quarter, and then things changed. By the way, a couple of notes here. Speaking of the Baltimore Ravens, both Mark Ingram running back and also Dobbins running back, both testing positive as far as COVID-19. So that's just a quick thing that came out today. You wonder if it's going to impact anybody else with the Ravens, and for that matter as well, impact anybody with the Titans. So that's something to monitor this week. Just like the other thing is to monitor the Clemson situation, as you know, this week they host Pittsburgh, but it's something to monitor to see if there's any outbreaks as far as cases with other players on that team as we look forward to this week. And probably the first signs of it will be today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. So be paying attention to that. We go back to the SEC on Saturday. And I tell you what, you know, I understand the Vanderbilt Commodores did not get that victory against the Florida Gators. But the fact that they kept fighting and fighting and fighting. I mean, they were down by 2 scores going into the fourth quarter to a team that was been explosive on offense the entire year in the SEC. Kyle Trask, you know, each and every week, 4 more touchdown passes, right? And there was, you know, Vanderbilt. I mean, remember, at halftime, it was only Florida up by a touchdown, 17-10 against the Commodores, which sets up now this matchup with Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt and that staff. It could be a situation, you know, we don't know what Vanderbilt's going to do moving forward after this weekend. Or not this weekend, but the end of the year, as far as they're going to make a move, not make a move. This game comes into play as far as Vanderbilt and Tennessee, because you can certainly make the argument that the winning team, coach stays, losing team, coach goes. And you go, well, can that be the case? I mean, Jeremy Pruitt with Tennessee just signed that extension, right, back at early part of this year after the 2-0 start. They've lost 5 straight games. They have been outscored in the second half of these ball games, 109-14. 109-14. That's not a good look. I mean, they get outscored in the second half, but 28-0 to Georgia. Get outscored to Kentucky, 17-0 in the second half. Outscored by Alabama, 20-7 in the second half. Outscored by Arkansas, 24-0. And then getting outscored by the Auburn Tigers on Saturday night, 20-7. So after the 2-0 start, 5 straight losses for the Tennessee Vols going into this matchup with Vanderbilt coming up on Saturday. Interesting other games in the conference as far as the SEC. LSU seeing the field for the first time in 3 weeks. They were able to get it done. That was actually a very entertaining ball game between LSU and Felipe Franks and the Arkansas Razorbacks. and it came down to the wire with LSU edging Arkansas by three there. Other thing that stood out, you know, you can just count on, I don't know what Vegas is thinking about the Georgia Bulldogs. They're not beating anybody by 25 or more points. They were favored by 25.5 against Mississippi State on Saturday. They were very fortunate. Let me just say, very fortunate to get that victory as they eked out the 31-24 win over Mississippi State. So those are some of the things. By the way, Bama, with their win, they were sharing a few votes in the AP Top 25 poll going into the weekend. Alabama with 60 of the 62 first-place votes. Notre Dame was getting one. Ohio State was also getting one. Not anymore. Alabama, unanimous number one in this week's AP Top 25 poll. Other teams in the SEC ranked include Texas A&M in the fifth spot, Florida in the sixth spot, Georgia 13th, and Auburn ranked 22nd. With the Auburn-Alabama game coming up this Saturday, it will be the SEC game on CBS, 2:30 start time, with these two teams both ranked in the top 25. 615-844-5600. If you would like to be a part of the show, John from Detroit, welcome to the show.
Hey, well, I guess a new intern didn't know it was Dr. Detroit, but hey, Johnny, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Johnny, the way I'm going to start off, great win for the Titans. That was like a intense chess match, play by play. I mean, it's just a great, great, great game. I mean, really great game. And congrats to the Titans. I'm not going to put blame on a new coach that took over the Michigan State Spartan squad, but from the governor of Michigan to the mayor of Detroit to Jim Harbaugh, and hey, as a glimpse, way after the game, it might have been Sunday morning, I noticed this, but Jim Harbaugh would not shake nor have a conversation with the head coach of Rutgers. Was there a reason for that? Did you notice that or anything?
There must have been some backstory there between those two. Remember, Gresciano used to be, what, Ohio State. So I bet there's some kind of Michigan-Ohio State thing going on back there. You know, look, coaches get their panties in the wad all the time. You think that they're beyond that. You think their skin is thick. They're less so than your average guy down the street.
Yeah,
everything impacts it. Any head coach that tells you, oh, none of that stuff bothers me. Yeah, I haven't found a coach yet behind the scenes who's really upfront and honest. A lot of coaches have this wall. Like, I know Nick Saban, for example, after his days at Michigan State, he built a wall around him. So it's like that movie Meet the Parents. He's like the Robert De Niro of that movie. If you haven't already been into that, you're never going to get into that circle.
Yeah, well, you know, it don't help Jim Harbaugh's career or profile or the way his career is going or has been. Okay, now getting to the lame Lions. Buddy, let me tell you, I've seen a lot of Detroit Lion games, and I'm going to tell you how humiliating yesterday's game was.
That was pretty pathetic. I'll just be honest with you. That was a pathetic showing for your Detroit Lions.
Let me tell you, the 0-16 Detroit Lions team was more competitive in all 16 of those losses than what I saw yesterday, sir. Would you not agree to that?
I mean, look, it's up there, but at this point, you know, Detroit's...
You know what? I'm wasting your time. Don't even do that. I don't want to waste your time because you know I will ridicule my own teams. I will throw them under the bus, and that's what I'm doing today. It was absolutely god-awful pathetic, and I saw Matthew Stafford's conference today. He was choking up. He was lying to the press, but you know what? They worshiped that man up there. He was covering up for the coach for the first time ever. He was lying to the press, and you could tell. It got to him. I never seen Matthew Stafford choked up, and it choked me up. But he was covering up like he was one of the Sopranos. And that's,
I mean, this
all
is how important. I mean, Detroit's been so non-relevant as far as the NFL for since Barry Sanders. And here's the thing. And this is the part that people don't even understand about Detroit this year. You know, after their 0-2 start, if they had won yesterday, they would be tied with the Bears in the hunt for a playoff spot, just two games out of first place as far as the division behind Green Bay. I mean, that's how record-wise they're right there. And just knowing this team and knowing how most of the time we're talking about how pathetic they are each and every Sunday, they literally would be in the hunt for a playoff spot with a win yesterday.
Okay, Johnny, hey, one of the guys I listened to, 97, won a ticket. I'll be really, really quick. And he even brought up that scenario. He goes, all right, guys, so guess what? So they make the playoffs. Well, you're probably going to end up playing Seattle. You're not going to be compete to Seattle. You're probably going to play L.A. You're not going to compete to L.A. So is it even worth a pathetic team to skate in by the hair of their chinny-chin-chin to embarrass and insult their team when another better team's got a better chance? And I could not totally agree even more. Do you comply to that?
I do not, only because if you're there, anything can happen. Twice the Marlins went to the playoffs as a wild card, each time winning a World Series. In fact, this year was the first time they lost a playoff series, and they lost it to the Braves. Secondly,
Johnny,
remember
two teams, the Detroit Lions,
9-7. Remember 2 9-7 New York Giants teams that eked out and won a NFC East title both times, wrapping up Super Bowl wins, including both against the New England Patriots. One of them was 18-0 going into that matchup. So once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen.
But you're trying to make rainbows come out of my mouth and ears, and it's not going to happen. But hey, a real helpful note, the Tigers, let me tell you, Tigers has got a lot of Vanderbilt Commodores that are moving up in the farm league, and I just heard it's called the Vandy Plan. And there's going to be a lot of Tigers, even starting this year, is going to put on that old English D. And that's going to be a proud year this year going into that. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, buddy.
I appreciate it. Let's hold off on Detroit Tigers talk until February or so. I mean, here we are in November. We just got through with the baseball season. Not ready to go downtown yet with the Detroit Tigers in this 2020 campaign as far as COVID-19 is concerned. All right, coming up a little bit later this hour, Ryan Callahan joins us from Knoxville. He's with GoVols247.com. But on the other side, we'll get a Vanderbilt look with Robbie Weinstein. He is with Vandy 24/7. He's coming up next right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's picked up quite a bit on 65.
Dude, I asked that guy's name
Madison
twice.
Right now,
I don't know if he was in a car or what.
Old
it sounded muffled. I thought it was just John
at
from
Lebanon
Detroit.
Pike, there's a crash waiting for you there in Donaldson.
He was killing me.
Still trying to mop up that wreck in Midtown. 1900 block of West End Avenue. It's picked up quite
you
a
know
bit
him?
On 40 East, passing 840, headed out through Wilson County towards Lebanon. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, call Tony and Nakisha Tate, the Tate
Dr.
team.
Dr. Detroit.
They'll take your call right now at 554-9795. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Swing into Edwin Watts Golf Shops this holiday season for the hottest gifts from TaylorMade. The Sim Shape and Motion series featuring the Sim, Sim Max, and Sim Max D type families. Find increased speed and distance with Sim. And be sure to stock up and save on TaylorMade TP5 and TP5X golf balls, now only $39.99. Come into Edwin Watts Golf Shops and get custom fit today. Edwin Watts Golf Shops, your holiday headquarters since 1968, and shop online at worldwidegolfshops.com.
What can help you take advantage of today's low mortgage rates and save money? Rocket can. You could save hundreds of dollars every month by refinancing with Rocket Mortgage at today's near historic low rates. If your current rate is over 4%, with today's low rates, you could lower your payment by over $150 a month, saving thousands in interest every year. With a cash out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, you could consolidate and pay off high interest debt, tackle home improvements that could add value to your home, or even set aside cash for your child's future education. We've already helped over 1 million clients just like you reach their home financing goals this year alone. So remember this. What can give you the technology to refinance easily and save money? Rocket can. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Savings are based on quick loans, internal data. License fees may apply. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing letter. License in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. Number 4330.
And now our friends and caring professionals at the Champion Tree Service are reminding Americans to stand tall and show support to the brave and honorable men and women who fought and continue to fight to secure the safety of our country and American way of life. Their tireless efforts should never go unnoticed. This salute is brought to you by the Champion Tree Service, serving the area with quality and pride. For all your tree service needs, call the best at 931-255-9402. That's 931-255-9402. The Champion Tree Service. They're professionals who care.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this afternoon. Mostly sunny, temperatures low 50s. Partly cloudy overnight tonight. Lows drop to the mid-30s. Tuesday is going to be a mostly sunny day. Gusty winds near 20 miles per hour and temperatures expected in the low 60s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, Ray Dosky, making sure everything runs great. Coming up a little bit later, Ryan Callahan joins us to talk Tennessee Vols. But right now, Robbie Weinstein, he covers the Commodores for Vandy247.com. Robbie, hope you had a wonderful weekend. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Johnny. This is probably the most interesting local game of the season for Vanderbilt in terms of kind of the regional interest here. And I'll be honest, I mean, this could be, it might be an ugly game on Saturday, but it could be close.
Well, I went 5-1 against the spread with all the SEC teams on in games on Saturday. Got them all right except for one. I just thought that the way Vanderbilt had played the previous 2 weeks, staying within the margin, fighting to the end against Mississippi State and Kentucky, and knowing how potent the Florida offense had been all year long with Kyle Trask and company, I just thought it was finally going to come to an end, especially in the second half and Florida pulling away. The problem is that didn't really happen, and that cost me a six-team parlay on Saturday. Give full credit to Vanderbilt, but look, is a fan base is still there, the ones that are not apathetic. The ones that right now, they don't want to hear about moral victories. They don't want to hear about close games against Mississippi State or Kentucky or looking okay against the sixth-ranked team in the country as far as the Florida Gators. They want to see the end results. They don't want to see the labor pains. They want to see a baby at the end. And that's the problem with this fan base, especially the ones that are not apathetic, the ones that are still showing emotions, and that's the part that frustrates them.
Yeah, and to your point, Johnny, I think Vanderbilt in the last three games actually has covered pretty easily by like 10 points or more in each of the last three games. They're still 0-7, and it's great that Ken Seals looks like he's going to be a really good SEC quarterback. It's great that Keon Henry Brooks, you know, is a good starting running back, I think, in the SEC. They've got some pieces on defense, I guess, that at least are on the young side and can do things going forward. You know, they got Cam Johnson from Brentwood Academy. They've got Ben Bresnahan, the good tight end. But I think, like you said, in the SEC, it's about winning games, and they're still 0-7. So I've heard some people talking about, okay, well, they're at least progressing as the season goes along, unlike Tennessee. That's true, but Tennessee did win two games, and Vanderbilt's still 0-7 at the end of the day. And they've got to do better than that at some point, which is why this game is so important. That I think at this point, even though Tennessee beat Missouri pretty handily, Missouri is playing better right now than Tennessee, and so that will be a more difficult game for Vanderbilt, I think, on the road. The close games, you know, that's one thing, but Vanderbilt needs to win at some point.
Yeah, prior to last weekend, I predicted that the combined record for these two programs would be 1-7 over the last four contests. and the only win being whoever wins this game this weekend. Interestingly enough, you could see where the administration, especially the way Vanderbilt has played for four quarters, when they could have easily have packed it in. You know, they had players going to the transfer portal, they had players opting out, they have depth issues, and yet they're here. They are still fighting to the end, and I bring that up because, unlike, you know, so that's Vanderbilt's scenario. Then you look at Tennessee's situation. Off to the 2-0 start, last five games, not only all losses, but they're getting outscored in the second half by a margin of 109-14. I threw it out there before this past weekend. I threw it out there. Whoever wins this game, I could see the coach coming back and the team that loses, even if it's Jeremy Pruitt, I see that there'll be a change at the end of the year as far as a coaching change, mainly because of what we saw with South Carolina letting Will Muschamp go 2 weekends ago.
I think that's a fair point. I think that's definitely possible, especially from Tennessee's side. I mean, if they go from having an 8-game win streak to now what would be a 6-game losing streak and one of the losses is the winless Vanderbilt, that's an issue. That's a big issue. I think on Vanderbilt's side of things, yeah, I think you could. There's a lot of criticisms that you can levy on Derek Mason, and very reasonably so, for sure. I mean, he's been there 7 years, and they haven't had a winning record yet, and they haven't won a game this season. You know, at some point, the buck stops with him. I do think at least what he has been able to do this season is the players who are still with the team are continuing to fight and continuing to play hard, which is. Yeah, there were various points this season where I didn't even know if that was really going to be the case when they're losing so many guys and the roster is so thin. They're also at a better spot from a COVID standpoint than they have been since the opener. They were not particularly close to the 53-player threshold last week. They were well over that. And now the students are no longer on campus, so you would think that Vanderbilt would be good to go for the next 2-3 games the rest of the season in terms of COVID stuff. So that is an interesting, I mean, I can just imagine now, I mean, if Vanderbilt pulls the upset in this game, the heat on Jeremy Pruitt is just going to be unbelievable.
The problem also, Vanderbilt now 1-14 in their last 15 conference games. They've lost 11 straight SEC games. And you get to the point where, okay, because here's the thing. You can't ignore the transfer portal. Did they, and why did they leave? And how honest are they as far as exit interviews, as far as telling Vanderbilt the reasons why they wanted to go, if they've even asked? I'm not sure what the protocol is with Vanderbilt. It's a private institution. But just like any company, if you're on the way out, are you really going to tell HR, for example, the reasons why you're taking another job or you're leaving? Most likely, you don't want to burn bridges, so you're going to keep your mouth shut. And I bring it up because a lot of folks getting into the transfer portal, what does that mean? Are they tired of the administration or are they tired of the coaching staff?
It's a difficult thing to parse through because I from what I've been told, and it makes sense, a lot of the guys who have left basically were, you know, in their third or fourth year with the program and had been passed over by younger players who were legitimately better than them. An example would be, like, you know, in the secondary, for instance, Brendan Harris, who's from Chattanooga, was a four-star recruit, and he was injured to start the season, but now is healthy and playing reasonably well. Yeah, he was like their fourth leading tackler last season as a redshirt freshman. I think it makes sense that guy would have passed a guy like Tay Daly, for instance, who opted out before the season started and then ended up transferring. So there are a significant number of examples of that. Donovan Coughlin would be another one. He's a true freshman who's playing better than the safeties that they had. But at the same time, the you know, that information leaks out, you know, that explanation for why guys are leaving. Vanderbilt has a reason to paint that picture, right? They want it to sound like one of these guys left because they got passed up on the depth chart and they wanted more playing time somewhere else. Is that the whole story? I don't know. And I think it makes sense that from a strategic perspective, Vanderbilt would want it to sound like that's the story. It does follow to an extent, you know, if you look at the logic. Like, I think there's something there, but is it the entire story? I don't know. And that's, you know, when you start looking at that, only Vanderbilt knows what the truth is, and that's going to, of course, play into a lot of the decision, I'm sure, when it comes to Mason's contract status, because I believe he has 3 years on his deal after this one, supposedly. You know, Vanderbilt is not subject to open records law, so we don't know for sure, but that's what I've heard. And so that's kind of getting toward where you would normally extend a coach like that. If you, you know, like for recruiting purposes, it's hard to recruit if you don't have, you know, 4 more years on your deal or more. And that's one of the many, the transfer portal situation is one of the many factors that they're going to have to look at.
Well, and the other thing, just like we look at the people go, well, didn't Jeremy Pruitt just get an extension earlier this year as far as head coach for the Tennessee Vols? And I go back to, if you have a fan base already beginning the year, you know, mad before the season even begins as far as 2021 with fans in those stands, I mean, how enthusiastic are you going to be in the offseason knowing at one point you had one of the nation's longest winning streaks after the second game of the year, only to say wrap up the year 0-8? What kind of momentum can you build on in the offseason with that, for example, and a head coach in Jeremy Pruitt, who, because of this year, you know, he was above 500 coaching wise, right? Now he'll be he'll finish the year below 500 if things continue to go south, like at this point that you would anticipate happening with the Tennessee Vols. So you got that, and once again, because of what we don't know behind the scenes with the administration and what their outlook for 2021 would be in a where COVID is not the cloud that's hanging over all of sports. That's the part we don't know. How serious are they about trying to make a difference?
Right, right. And I, you know, again, Mason, if Vanderbilt can win this game, which I think it'll be a close game, probably low scoring, so I think it's possible, you know, then you can point to some things in terms of, hey, the coordinator hires seem to have worked out. The offense in particular, I think Todd Fitz has actually done a very good job. He's also the quarterback's coach. Ken Fields has gotten better as the season has gone along. The receivers didn't look very good at the start of the season, and now they're really coming along. The offensive line was just totally ravaged by opt-outs at the beginning of the season, and they've held up better than you would expect. So at least Mason has some progression, I think, to legitimately point to, whereas Tennessee, you know, does need to show something over the last few games because they're just going completely the wrong direction. I think it was the first time in program history, right, that where they've lost by double digits in 5 straight games.
Right.
And when, you know, when you've got like a senior quarterback, an experienced quarterback in Garantano, that just shouldn't be happening. Whereas at least at Vanderbilt, they can point to, you know, some things and say, hey, we couldn't control the opt-outs. We've got a true freshman quarterback. We're looking better for the future. That's what makes this such an interesting game, because in some ways the programs are headed in the opposite direction, especially relative to what we expected coming into the season, where we thought Tennessee could be quite competitive.
And that's the thing, too, why, you know, Vanderbilt is getting a huge head start for 2021, no matter who the head coach is, by playing folks like a true freshman quarterback in Ken Sills, who, by the way, will be the best freshman quarterback in the history of the Vanderbilt program. And you think of names like Jay Cutler and John Gromos. I mean, he is that now. He's accomplished that. Whereas in the Tennessee situation, because they are playing for their jobs, you know, they're not giving Harrison Bailey that opportunity to grow and look good and get that valuable playing time to help him next year. You know, they're trying to win with the guy that has the most experience, and that is Jarrett Garantano. And look, it's not paying dividends at all for them in these last all these games that they've lost in a row.
No, it's not. And, you know, some people have thrown this out there. I actually agree with it. I think Sue might be the better quarterback at this point.
Oh, absolutely. No, wait. There's not even a question. No question about that.
Yeah. Much better downfield passer, more accurate. I mean, the offense has been moving recently, and they don't exactly have a lot of great wide receivers. He's not getting protection. I think when you adjust for, you know, the talent level around these quarterbacks, Garantano has a great offensive line in front of him. At least a very talented one. And so, it's pretty amazing how we've gotten to this point.
Tennessee wishes they had Ken Sills right now. I'll just throw it out there with what he's been able to do. All right, do me a favor. Remind everybody again what they can expect with Vandy247.com.
Sure. Head on over for plenty of recruiting coverage. Derek Mason's press conference for the week is tomorrow, so certainly I will have fans covered with plenty of content from that. And then some more content headed up to the big game on Saturday, and I'll be in attendance there and have plenty on Saturday as well.
Hey, we appreciate you. Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family as well.
Thanks, Johnny. You as well.
All right, Puck, appreciate that so much. Coming up on the other side, Ryan Callahan joins us from Knoxville to get his take on what happened over the weekend down the plains at Auburn for the Tennessee Vols and also getting his first thoughts about this matchup on Saturday between Tennessee and Vanderbilt. This segment brought to you by friends with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Five great locations to serve you in the area: Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. But don't forget about the two enhanced experiences, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall. We're talking about, with these enhanced experiences, besides bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment, you'll get at all locations with the enhanced experiences in Hendersonville and Murfreesboro. We're talking about laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. For more information, you can go online at strikeandspare.com. All locations open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Good afternoon. We're looking at heavy traffic here on 24 East and westbound up by Ellington Parkway, James Robertson Parkway, and across the Sullivan Evans Bridge here on I-24. OHB at Vaughn Road, that's a wreck out on the west side. Also working an accident, Murfreesboro Pike at Ransom Place. That's Murfreesboro Pike going outbound out in Antioch. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, call Tony and Nikisha Tate, the Tate team. Call them right now at 554-9795. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Visit Boot Barn right now during our Black Friday weekend sale. Save on boots for men, women, and children, including saving up to $100 on handmade exotic boots and getting an extra 25% off women's sale cowboy boots. A large selection of jeans or buy one pair, get another one free, and save on flannels, sweatshirts, and workwear. Visit us and save during our Black Friday sale, extended through the weekend, so you can shop safely at Boot Barn.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Pennington Distilling Company is a proud sponsor of WNSR's Pickin' with the Pickers with Greg Pogue and John Burton. Pickers Vodka, Pickers Unplugged Seltzers, and canned cocktails are all available and made right here in Nashville, along with the award-winning Davidson Reserve line of whiskeys and Whisper Creek, Tennessee Sippin' Cream. Learn more by touring the distillery in the nation's neighborhood, by following Pennington Distilling Company on social media, or online at PenningtonDistillingCo.com.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and this week features Chase Elliott running the Snowball Derby, Kyle Larson picking up win number 43, plus a ton more. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here. Oh, and happy Thanksgiving holiday this week.
Hi, this is Alex Bowman, and you're listening to The Final Lap.
Every single weekday right here.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, Ray Dosky, making sure everything runs great. We'll be with you tonight until 6. Coming up in hour number 2, Barton Simmons joins us, national college football writer with CBSSports.com and director of scouting with 24/7 Sports. And then around 5:35 or so, Alan Bell with CBS Sports Line to look at NFL college football and Monday night's contest tonight, featuring the Tampa Bay Bucks as they play host to the LA Rams. But right now, to get some thoughts about the Tennessee Vols this past weekend at Auburn and looking ahead to Saturday's matchup against Vanderbilt. Ryan Callahan joins us from Knoxville. He's with GoVols247.com. Ryan, thank you as always and welcome back.
Hey, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
You know, we just got through a visit with Robbie Weinstein, and we were talking about the matchup. And before the weekend, I predicted that combined Tennessee Vanderbilt would finish the year 1-7, with the only win coming in this matchup this weekend when Tennessee comes to town to take on Vanderbilt. The thing that sticks out for me is the lack of showing up in the second half for the Tennessee Vols. You know, during this five-game losing streak, getting outscored 109-14, I mean, that's pretty embarrassing for a team in the SEC, especially a team that was trying to go from good to great.
It's pretty wild, honestly. It's hard to imagine winning games if you're not scoring more than, you know, a touchdown every other game or so on offense in the second half. That's just a tough way to live. And they're getting creative with it now. You know, as you said, Saturday night, they were in the game still, you know, halfway through the third quarter or so and driving, having a chance to at least tie the game with a field goal, if nothing else, on that drive before Jerry Garantano throws the pick six in the end zone there, a really ill-advised throw for a fifth-year senior to be making, for any quarterback to be making, frankly, and changes the game completely. So they've clearly you know, did some things better Saturday night, and if that game had not come on the heels of four straight losses, you might look at that game and take some positives away, because Tennessee did, I think, show noticeable progress, especially on offense in that game. But given where it is in the season, it wasn't nearly enough, and obviously Tennessee continued to make some critical mistakes in big spots, and it's kind of more of the same at this point because of what kind of rut they're in right now.
And this is the other part, too. I mean, first of all, what's your relationship with Jeremy Pruitt? I mean, week in and week out in the 3 years that you've covered him.
You know, it's good. You know, I think he's been fine to work with. You know, he's a professional and understands the, you know, the criticism and things like that. That's one thing you wonder about with a first time head coach. You know, having a guy who's not been through it before in that role, that they don't always understand. You know, the day to day interactions and the level of criticism that you sometimes get. But I think he's shown he's not too worried about that kind of stuff in most cases. And he's been, pretty honest, I think, in most of his dealings with media. You know, that's one thing we, you know, I think got frustrated by sometimes during the Butch Jones era was some not always honest and upfront answers. And coaches obviously sometimes want to hide some things or not completely reveal everything to media. And that's fine. But I think Jeremy Pruitt's done a good job of being that, doing that and not being dishonest about some things when he's wanted to keep things under wraps. He's just been upfront about his intentions there. So he's been fine to work with. And I think up to this year, everyone would have said, you know, they were pretty much happy with Jeremy Pruitt, but obviously on-field results change things. And this season has, you know, kind of completely changed the perception of where the program is headed after last year's, you know, second half resurgence to have seven games in, be 2-5 is not where anybody thought this program would be and needed to be right now.
Well, and the part two is, once again, and I'm not the one saying this, the whole program had expectations of taking that extra step this year based on the way they wrapped up last year, and that's what this team was wanting to do. They were expecting out of themselves, and that's the part, starting with that second half against Georgia to where we are today. And then it brings up, because, you know, here's the thing. If you're talking about a head coach, yeah, maybe you don't get necessarily the full results you want as far as in your third year. But if you're showing improvement, like, for example, at least Vanderbilt, I mean, I know they're winless, but the fact that they're in the very end there fighting against Mississippi State, fighting last week against Kentucky, fighting against the sixth team in the country of the Florida Gators. I mean, they were getting positive commentary throughout the afternoon. The Commodores were nationally based on what they were doing and holding the Florida Gators down like they had been. And so I bring it up when you think about, here's Jeremy Pruitt, you know, in his third year now. You know, he began, you know, with that six-game winning streak, you know, where he was 13-12 going into the season. I mean, his overall record has gone south, and that's not what you want as far as momentum going into year four.
It's not, and I know a lot of Tennessee fans are already kind of
frankly getting an itchy trigger finger on this situation, knowing where this team was expected to be, and knowing it's five straight losses and it's the longest losing streak already for Tennessee since 1988. First time in program history they've lost five consecutive games by double digits. You know, you're not making good history here with some of the things they've accomplished recently in a negative way. And knowing those things, some Tennessee fans are already, you know, thinking, can Tennessee move on? I don't think that's what anyone wants to even consider doing this year. The financial situation is nightmarish to think about. The buyouts you would pay in a year where you're already, you know, $40 million in the hole because of not being able to sell many tickets this year and everything else that's been affected by the pandemic. So it's the last thing anyone wants to think about. But when you look at what's still ahead, you know, Tennessee, if they don't beat Vanderbilt Saturday, they could lose out. They could lose their last eight games this season. And the fact that that possibility is even on the table is shocking to people. And frankly, it's the type of thing Tennessee's never had to just deal with and take it. You know, the only other time they've lost eight games in the season was Butch Jones's final season in 2017. So you're getting into some pretty bad territory here. And I think that's, to your point, what Vanderbilt's doing now. They've got a young quarterback playing pretty well. I think that's what's frustrated Tennessee fans lately, is they feel they've got a young quarterback in Harrison Bailey that they want to see. And I think fans would maybe show a little bit more patience if they felt there was youth on the way that was learning and getting better, and you saw upside going into next year. Because they continue to throw out there Jared Garantano, a guy they're just over at this point, frankly, it's been tougher for Tennessee fans to accept. And I think they feel Jeremy Pruitt sort of sticking with his guy stubbornly against all evidence to the contrary that says he's not the guy that you need to be trying to win games with. So that's where I think he is sort of losing points with fans on top of everything else that comes with five straight losses.
And that's where the problem is with regards to now that he's fighting for his coaching life there as far as being the head coach of the Tennessee Vols, and the same thing applies, you know, to that coaching staff. You're making decisions at times where it doesn't necessarily benefit you for 2021. It benefits you now. And because Harrison Bailey, they see them, Harrison Bailey day in and day out. They understand that Harrison Bailey makes mistakes as a freshman QB. And so to give them the best chance to win now, I totally agree with where he was coming from on Saturday night, because, you know, he can't afford to think about 2021. He can't think about and afford to getting Harrison Bailey all this valuable playing time that will help him next year, because there may not be a next year for Jeremy Pruitt and that staff as far as the Tennessee Vols are concerned.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know how that situation should be interpreted by fans if Tennessee would view it a little bit differently, if you were just sort of taking your lumps with a freshman quarterback learning on the job or not. I think that's sort of where fans are at this point, just because they're so fed up with seeing Jared Garantano out there and seeing kind of more of the same every week and not seeing much upside in that situation. They at least got some freshman receivers in there Saturday night and did some different things on offense and had 464 yards of total offense. You know, that would be seen as progress, I think, if you had a freshman quarterback in there. But with Garantano, it felt like, okay, you're maximizing what you have a little bit more, but it's still not good enough to really keep up with anybody meaningful in the SEC. And so it feels like sort of beating their heads up against the wall offensively and on both sides of the ball, just still not very good. So it is frustrating for fans, and that makes it tough. And I don't know what you do this week if you're Tennessee, because you are sort of fighting for your lives a little bit. You know, I don't know if Jeremy Pruitt looks at it that way yet, but I think there's at least that perception out there. I think you need a win this week at all costs. And because that's the situation, my guess right now, and Jeremy Pruitt obviously isn't saying much yet about it, I think you probably see Jared Garantano start again Saturday, because that's the guy this staff seems to trust. And that's going to be very frustrating to fans, obviously, if that's the answer coming off five straight losses.
I think that will be the answer. Before we let you go, a lot to get to this week, a lot to cover. Let our listeners know again, best way to keep up with all your coverage.
Yeah, tons of stuff to check out this week on GoVols247.com. And actually, keep an eye on the site later this week. We'll have a great sale to offer fans leading up to Cyber Monday next week. So check that out if you're not a member of the site. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter as well, at RyanCallahan247. We'll have you covered throughout the week and all the way through the rest of the season leading up to early signing day next month.
Hey, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great night. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Ryan Callahan joining us again. Quick reminder, whether we're talking about Turkey Day coming up this weekend, college football, NFL, if you're drinking while you're watching these games with your friends or family, just a quick reminder, don't get behind the wheel. Drunk driving is the ultimate form of unsportsmanlike conduct. So if you've been drinking, pass your keys to a sober friend. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Well, good afternoon. We're looking live at this crash being cleared here on 40 eastbound. It's before you get to Fessler's. It is crazy slow over here on 24 across the Settlement Evans Bridge because of this wreck on 40 eastbound. Again, it's right before you get to Fessler's. Still working that wreck on 65 northbound at Wedgewood, 3400 block at Dickerson Pike. Highway 109 in Wilson County has really picked up in the last few minutes. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, call Tony and Nikisha Tate, the Tate team. Call 554-9795. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The final lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
2020 NASCAR Cup Series champion Chase Elliott is going to battle for his third Snowball Derby trophy coming up. Chase hasn't competed in this event since 2017. The 53rd annual Snowball Derby takes place December 2nd through the 6th from Five Flag Speedway in Florida with coverage on speed51.com. Chase said, quote, "The Snowball is an event that played a big part in my career and having the opportunities I've had. It was an event I was tired of watching every December on Speed 51, so I'm ready to give it another go," end quote. Our co-host for our weekly podcast, The Final Lap Weekly, Toby Christie, is the title sponsor of tonight's iRacing event from the virtual Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Now, Toby said, quote, "It was fun to watch how the league took off last season and attracted top names from the motorsports world. It's an honor to be involved, and I can't wait to see this incredible race at the virtual Las Vegas Motor Speedway on Monday night." Check out the TobyChristie.com 150 tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern on Podium Esports. The Monday Night Racing Series will also, by the way, feature Kyle Busch, who won the opening race at Talladega Super Speedway. Jeb Burton has landed a full-time Xfinity Series ride for next season with Colic Racing's number 10 machine. This marks the first time he will be able to compete for a championship due to the full-timeness of the deal. In 17 starts for Junior Motorsports, Burton has landed inside the top five on five occasions while earning 12 top 10 finishes.
TheFinalLap.com.
Shop incredible Macy's Black Friday specials right now while supplies last and get the holiday's hottest deals before they're gone. Like cozy sweaters, just $39.99. Refresh the bedrooms in your home with 65% off Charter Club Damask and Damask Designs sheets and bedding. Then cozy up with matching pajama sets for the family, only $19.99 and under, right now at Macy's. Plus, buy online and get contact-free curbside pickup or pickup in store today. Details at Macy's.com/pickup. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Great news, beauty lovers. Black Friday is starting earlier than ever at Ulta Beauty. Beginning Sunday, November 22nd, enjoy hundreds of Black Friday deals available all week long, like 50% off the hottest products from Bare Minerals, Living Proof, and more. Or get 40% off eyeshadow palettes from Juvia's Place and Makeup Revolution. And we've made shopping easier, too. Visit us in-store, online, or try curbside pickup. The holidays are here. Let's see the joy all season long. Ulta Beauty. The possibilities are beautiful.
Fast Roadside Assistance Towing and Recovery is reminding Americans to stand tall and show support to the brave men and women who fought to secure our American way. This salute is from family-owned and operated Fast Roadside Assistance Towing and Recovery. They're our number one most trusted when it comes to towing, recovery, auto repairs, and roadside assistance. Call today at 615-294-6215. That's 615-294-6215. Once again, Fast Roadside Assistance Towing and Recovery. They're professionals who care. Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Ray Dusky spinning all the hits, making sure everything runs great back in the studios. Coming up in hour number two, at the top of the hour, Barton Simmons, national college football writer with CBSSports.com. He's also director of scouting with 24/7 Sports. He'll be with us getting his thoughts on the college football landscape, heading into the first poll by the College Football Playoff Committee, which will be coming up tomorrow night. In addition, later in hour number two, around 5:35, Alan Bell recaps the biggest highlights as far as in the NFL, college football too, and we'll look at this Monday night affair to wrap up week 11 in the NFL as the Tampa Bay Bucks at home, 7-3, 3-1 at home this year as they play host to the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams coming to this ball game 6-3, 2-3 on the road. So it'll be a battle of one of the up-and-comers in Jared Goff, who this year he's been prone to throwing interceptions. He's passed for almost 2,500 yards, but 13 touchdowns, 6 picks. Whereas Tom Brady, just over 2,700 yards passing this year, 23 touchdowns with only 7 interceptions. One of the storylines to watch out for, Nashville product Jalen Ramsey on defense with the Rams, and see how much success he will have in shutting down, say, like Mike Evans, the Tampa Bay Bucks top receiver, who comes into the ballgame tonight with 8 touchdowns, 40 catches for 514 yards. We'll get more in this conversation in hour number 2. And as always, as a reminder, we know you have choices each and every day, and we appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.